You're listening to Eurofolk Radio, a voice for European people worldwide. Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong, because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent, for he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 29th of January, 2018. We're pretty much in the middle of chapter 34 of the book of Jasher, that is Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright. You can read along if you would like. You can go to www.sacred-texts.com and dial up the book of Jasher and read along with me. So I have a lot of notes and modifications because they did anglicize a lot of the words in here, and I have taken them back to the Hebrew. So that's going to be the only difference My website is https://www.pastor.com/ www.pastor-steve.com. And all kinds of stuff on there. It's a user-friendly site, but it is not interactive. I don't have time to babysit for trolls and naysayers and whatever else. If you want to download and you want to listen, that's what the site's for. It's got links to a lot of other two-seed line Christian identity sites. And I'm rather pleased with it. It's a little site. It's not big. But then the remnant is not big. These days we are growing. Praise Yahweh. Well, let's get started in Yashar here, Jasher. We're going to start with verse 39 of chapter 34 today. We had seen that they had wiped out a lot of the city of Shechem. The Israelites did. And the rest of the Canaanites in the area were very, very concerned. They were scared because two Israelites destroyed that whole city, killed everybody. So this is the conversation, etc., etc., that followed among the kings of these Canaanites. Pardon me for just a second. Had a little frog there. Verse 39. And these men left the city and went to the city of Tapnach. And they came there and told the inhabitants of Tapnach all that had befallen them. Now these were the men, the couple that were that left alive in the city that had hid and didn't get killed. Well, they were telling all these Canaanites what happened, and told the inhabitants of Tapnach all that had befallen them and all that the sons of Yaakov had done to the city of Shechem. Remember, this is only two Israelites. And the information reached Yashub, king of Tapnach, and he sent men to the city of Shechem to see those young men, for the king did not believe them in this account, saying, "How could two men lay waste such a large town as Shechem?" Verse 41. And the messengers of Yashub came back and told him, saying, "We came unto the city, and it is destroyed. There is not a man there, only weeping women, neither is any flock or cattle there. For all that was in the city, the sons of Yaakov took away." Verse 42. And Yashub wondered at this, saying, "How could two men do this thing to destroy so large a city and not one man able to stand against them?" Verse 43. "For the like has not been from the days of Nimrod, and not even from the remotest time has the like taken place." And Yashub, king of Tapnach, said to his people, "Be courageous, and we will go and fight against these Hebrews, and do unto them as they did unto the city, and we will avenge the cause of the people of the city." Oh, really? Okay. He was going to go give this a shot. I think he's going to find that there's a little problem with that. But anyway, go on to verse 44. And Yashub, king of Tofnah, consulted with his counselors about this matter, and his advisors said unto him, "Alone you will not prevail over the Hebrews, for they must be powerful to do this work to the whole city. If two of them laid waste the whole city and no one stood against them, surely if you will go against them, they will all rise against us and destroy us likewise. But send to all the kings that surround us and let them come together. Then we will go with them and fight against the sons of Jacob, then you will prevail against them." Okay. Verse 47. And Yashub heard the words of his counselors, and their words pleased him and his people, and he did so. And Yashub, king of Tofnah, sent to all the kings of the Amorites that surrounded Shechem and Tofnah, saying, "Go up with me and assist me, and we will smite Jacob the Hebrew and all his sons and destroy them from the earth. For thus did he do to the city of Shechem, and do you not know of it?" Verse 49. And all the kings of the Amorites heard the evil that the sons of Jacob had done to the city of Shechem, and they were greatly astonished at them. All right, now let's stop. The word evil, that can mean harm or calamity. Okay? It has multiple meanings, not just evil. Verse 50. And the seven kings of the Amorites assembled with all their armies, about 10,000 men with drawn swords, and they came to fight against the sons of Jacob. And Jacob heard that the kings of the Amorites had assembled to fight against his sons. And Jacob was greatly afraid, and it distressed him. Okay. Verse 51. And Jacob exclaimed against Shimeon and Levi. Those are the two that killed everybody in Shechem. And this is in Genesis. But they don't say why. Saying, "What is this act that you did? Why have you injured me to bring against me all the children of Canaan to destroy me and my household? For I was at rest, even I and my household, and you have done this thing to me and provoked the inhabitants of the land against me by your proceedings." Verse 52. And Yahudah answered his father, saying, "Was it for naught my brothers Shimeon and Levi killed all the inhabitants of Shechem? Surely it was because Shechem had humbled our sister and transgressed the command of our Elohim to Noach and his children," that's Noah. "For Shechem took our sister away by force and committed adultery." In other words, made her impure with his Canaanite seed. Because she wasn't married. he adulterated her, he made her impure. That's what adultery means. Verse 53. And Shechem did all this evil. Now here it means evil. Okay. And not one of the inhabitants of his city interfered with him to say, why will you do this? Surely for this my brothers went and smote the city, and Yahweh delivered it into their hands, because its inhabitants had transgressed the commands of our Elohim, our God. Is it then for naught that they have done all this? Verse 54. And now, why are you afraid or distressed, and why are you displeased at my brothers? And why is your anger kindled against them? Verse 55. Now he makes perfect sense right here. Surely our Elohim, who delivered into their hands the city of Shechem. Okay. Who did that? Yahweh did that. Okay. And its people, he will also deliver into our hands all the Canaanitish kings who are coming against us. Ooh. And we will do unto them as my brothers did unto Shechem. Now that's faith. Right there. Yahuda is speaking up and speaking to his father. Why are you afraid, Father? Who's on our side? And the scripture said, if Yahweh is with us, who can be against us? It backs that up. Man. Let me get a little drink of this distilled water here. Distilled water cleans out all the non-organic stuff. And then you take organic minerals, etc., etc., as supplements, and it'll just clean you out. I know since I've been drinking distilled water, my sugar level has dropped. And I don't have to use as much insulin. So, bingo. Verse 56, continuing on. Now be tranquil about them and cast away your fears, but trust in Yahweh our Elohim, and pray unto him to assist us and deliver us and deliver our enemies into our hands. Verse 57. And Yahuda called to one of his father's servants, go now and see where those kings who are coming against us are situated with their armies. Verse 58. And the servant went and looked far off and went up opposite Mount Sichon, and saw all the camps of the king standing in the field. And he returned to Yahuda and said, behold, the kings are situated in the field with all their camps, a people exceedingly numerous, like the sand under the unto the sand upon the seashore. Verse 59. And Yahuda said unto Shimeon and Levi and unto all his brothers, strengthen yourselves and be sons of valor, for Yahweh our Elohim is with us. Do not fear them. Verse 60. Stand forth, each man, girt with his weapons of war, his bow and his sword, and we will go and fight against these uncircumcised. Yahweh is our Elohim. He will save us. That is powerful right there. Just, it's marvelous. Same today, if we trust and we obey, if we are obedient, Yahweh pays attention to us, brothers and sisters. But we must be obedient. And only the remnant, it seems, is trying to be obedient. And the others are in deep trouble. They will not be preserved. If they don't walk that line, he says, if you abandon me and you don't follow my commandments, I don't know you. So that's why we do these broadcasts, to try to reach people that are not walking that line. Come back and repent and call upon the name of Yahweh, and he will forgive you and accept you back in. You will be part of the remnant, and you will be saved from destruction. Verse 61. And they rose up, and each girt on his weapon of war, great and small, 11 sons of Jacob, and all the servants of Jacob with them, and all the servants of Yitzchak, who were, verse 62, and all the servants of Yitzchak, who were with Yitzchak in Hebron, all came to them equipped in all sorts of war instruments, and the sons of Jacob and their servants, 112 men, went toward these kings, and Jacob also went with them. I get fired up and just start reading, and it just grips me. This is so exciting. Verse 63. And the sons of Jacob sent unto their father Yitzchak, the son of Abraham, to Hebron. The same is Kiriath Arba, saying, verse 64, pray, we beseech you, for us unto Yahweh our Elohim, to protect us from the hands of the Canaanites, who are coming against us, and to deliver them into our hands. Verse 65. And Yitzchak the son of Abraham prayed unto Yahweh for his sons. And he said, O Yahweh, you did promise my father, saying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. And you did also promise me and establish you your word, now that the kings of Canaanites are coming together to make war with my children because they committed no violence. Verse 66. Now therefore, O Yahweh, Elohe, that's God of the whole earth, pervert, I pray thee, the counsel of these kings, that they may not fight against my sons or grandsons. That word can mean grandsons as well, because the children of Jacob were his grandsons. Verse 67, and impress the heart of these kings and their people with the terror of my sons, and bring down their pride, that they may turn away from my sons. Verse 68. And with your strong hand and outstretched arm, deliver my sons and their servants from them, for power and might are in your hands to do all this. What a powerful prayer. What a powerful prayer to Yahweh. Verse 69. of chapter 35, or 34, pardon me. And the sons of Jacob and their servants went toward these kings, and they trusted in Yahweh, their Elohim. And while they were going, Jacob, their father, also prayed unto Yahweh and said, O Yahweh, powerful and exalted Elohim, who has reigned from days of old, from then till now and forever. Verse 70. You are he who stirs up wars and causes them to cease. In your hand are power and might to exalt and to bring down. Oh, may my prayer be acceptable, that you may turn to me with thy mercies to impress the hearts of these kings and their people with the terror of my sons, and terrify them and their camps, and with your great kindness deliver all those that trust in you. For it is you who can bring people under us and nations under our power. And that ends chapter 34. And we will begin chapter 35 here. I need to make a little mark that I've done this, or I'll lose my way. I tend to do that. I hate being senile, but I can't remember why. I know. Still crazy after all these years. But I so enjoy this. This book of Yashar is a particular treat for me. Oh, boy. This is chapter 35. And we'll begin, that's not all, it's not that long. It's only 25 verses. But it really tells the tale. Verse 1. And all the kings of the Amorites, that would be the Emori in Hebrew, Emori, came and took their stand in the field to consult with their counselors what was to be done with the sons of Jacob, for they were still afraid of them, saying, two of them slew the whole of the city of Shechem. Verse 2, and Yahweh heard the prayers of Yitzchak and Jacob, and he filled the hearts of all these kings' advisors with great fear and terror, which is what they had asked for, that they unanimously exclaimed. Verse 3. Are you silly this day? Is there no understanding in you that you will fight with the Hebrews? And why will you take a delight in your own destruction this day? Verse 4. Behold, two of them came to the city of Shechem without fear or terror, and they killed all the inhabitants of the city, that no man stood up against them. And how will you be able to fight with them all? And here we go. Verse 5. This tells the tale. Surely you know that their God is exceedingly fond of them, and has done mighty things for them, such as have not been done from days of old. And amongst all the gods of the nation, these people call them gods, okay? There is none can do like unto his mighty deeds. These are little g gods, not the great big G. Just false idols and little statues and all that garbage that they were worshiping. Verse 6. Surely he delivered their father Abraham, the Hebrew, from the hand of Nimrod and from the hand of all his people who had many times sought to slay him. Let's stop right here. Now, they have classified Abraham as a Hebrew. A Hebrew is one of Eber. Okay, that comes from Eber, the Ibri. Verse 7. He delivered him also from the fire in which King Nimrod had cast him, and his God delivered him from it. Remember that? We went over that in the prior chapters. Verse 8. And who else can do the like? Surely it was Abraham who slew the five kings of Elam when they had touched his brother's son who in those days dwelt in Sedom. That would be Sodom. It's actually Sedom, but it's Sodom in the English. Verse 9, and took his servant that was faithful in his house and a few of his men, and they pursued the kings of Elam in one night and killed them, and restored to his brother's son all his property which they had taken from him. These are tales of the past. This got around. This isn't just light. They didn't just make this up and carry tales. This happened. And that's why they're scared to death of these Hebrews that are coming at them. Verse 10. And surely you know the God of these Hebrews is much delighted with them, and they are also delighted with him. For they know that he delivered them from all their enemies. Verse 11. And these guys are scared. And behold, through his love toward his God, Abraham took his only and precious son and intended to bring him up as a burnt offering to his God. And had it not been for God who prevented him from doing this, he would then have done it through his love to his God. And that would be Elohim, speaking the divine being. So they're not using the name of Yahweh because they're heathens. Verse 12. And God saw all his works and swore unto him and promised him that he would deliver his sons and all his seed, that seed line, his progeny, all the way down, from every trouble that would befall them because he had done this thing. And through his love to his God, stifled his compassion for his child. But Yahweh wouldn't let him kill the boy. He provided another sacrifice. It was a test, and he passed with flying colors. So this passes on down to these men, you know, that we're talking about the Hebrews here. Verse 13. This is still the same guy speaking. And have you not heard what their God did to Pharaoh? king of Mitzrayim, and to Abimelech, king of Gerar, through taking Abraham's wife, who said of her, she is my sister, lest they might slay him on account of her? And think of taking her for a wife? And God did unto them and their people all that you heard of. I mean, stop right here. They were famous in the land. Famous, famous, famous. Everybody was talking about the Hebrews. And when they were coming through, everybody just sort of stepped back. Oh, you'd like to come through here? Okay, no problem. They're scared of them. The whole country was scared of them for good reason. And I'm going to make a comment here. We are in apostasy. We are in dispersion. Only the remnant is following Yahweh's laws and following Yahweh. And when the time comes that we must fight, and it is coming, you see what's going on in the world today. A ton of bricks doesn't have to fall on you. Well, maybe it does. Some people just, you know. He will be with us in this way. Because we have come out from among this society and are separate. We don't live our lives according to this wicked society's methods. Keep your faith, brothers and sisters. Trust in Yahweh. And we are His battle axe and weapons of war, and He will use us again. Verse 14. And behold, we ourselves saw with our eyes that Esau, the brother of Jacob, came to him with 400 men with the intention of slaying him, for he called to mind that he had taken away from him his father's blessing. See, all of this was talked about. This wasn't just a little secret in the family. All these people knew that. Verse 15, and he went to meet him when he came from Aram, that's Syria, to smite the mother with the children, and who delivered him from his hands but his Elohim, in whom he trusted? He delivered him from the hands of his brother and also from the hands of his enemies. Surely he will protect them. Verse 16, who does not know that it was their God who inspired them with strength to do to the town of Shechem the evil which you heard of, or harm which you heard of? Okay. Verse 17, could it then be with their own strength that two men could destroy such a large city as Shechem? Had it not been for their God in whom they trusted? He said and did unto them all this to slay the inhabitants of the city in their city. Now this guy's talking sense now. He may be a Canaanite, but he's got it nailed. He's telling these other Canaanites the truth. Might not like it. Verse 18. And can you then prevail over them who have come forth together from your city to fight with the whole of them? even if 1,000 times as many more should come to your assistance? Now listen to this. Because this guy is going to lay it on them. And this is the truest thing that he says. And this applies to us today when it comes time for us to do battle. Verse 19. Surely you know and understand that you do not come to fight with them, but you come to war with their God who made choice of them, and you have therefore all come this day to be destroyed. Man. Verse 20. Now, therefore, refrain from this evil which you are endeavoring to bring upon yourselves, and it will be better for you not to go to battle with them, although they are but few in numbers, because their God is with them. This guy was an Amorite, an Emori, Canaanite, pagan, idol worshiper. And he saw the truth. So here's what happened. Verse 21. And when the kings of the Emori, the Amorites, heard all the words of their advisors, their hearts were filled with terror. Okay, got it? Their hearts were filled with terror. And they were afraid of the sons of Jacob and would not fight against them. And they inclined their ears to the words of their advisors, and they listened to all their words, and the words of the counselors greatly pleased the kings, and they did so. Verse 23. And the kings turned, pardon me, I have to cough just a second. Yeah, I'm still in recovery period, and every once in a while, I have to cough. So, and they inclined their ears. Well, no, okay. Verse 23, I lost my place. And the kings turned and refrained. In other words, they didn't go against. From the sons of Jacob, for they dared not approach them to war, for they were greatly afraid of them, and their hearts melted within them from their fear of them. Now, this is verse 24. And this just gives it straight. For this proceeded from Yahweh to them. For he heard the prayers of his servants Yitzchak and Yaakov, for they trusted in him. And all these kings returned with their camps on that day, each to his own city, and they did not at that time fight with the sons of Yaakov. Verse 25, and the sons of Yaakov kept their station that day till evening opposite Mount Sichon, and seeing that these kings did not come to fight against them, the sons of Yaakov returned home. And that ends chapter 35. It's not a long one. I've got a few minutes left, but I'm not going to get into chapter 36 because it is a biggie. And I don't want to get in the middle of stuff and then have to quit. That's no fun. Not fun for me, not fun for you. This is a real big chapter, and I had to, the one before this, rather, and I had to start in the middle of it. I didn't have a choice. But sometimes I'm going to have to do this in Jasher, and sometimes not. But there's 91 chapters here. 91. This is a big book. Okay. And we can't go too fast because this book is so packed with information. I mean, it's just, full. Now, chapter 36 is 38 verses. I could never get that done. So probably on Wednesday, I'm going to do 36 and 37. And chapter 38 is a real biggie. It's got 52 verses, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages long. So I'll do 36 and 37 on Wednesday. We're seeing so many similarities here. With what's going down with Israel. And what's going with us today. It's an amazing parallel. We have to study these old scriptures, all this old stuff, because we get so much more information. If we ignore this and gloss over it or go through it too quickly, we're not going to get the benefit of the knowledge that's in here, and we need all this knowledge and reinforcement, okay? Spiritual reinforcement for our people in these days because of the trouble that we have these days and the trouble that is coming. We cannot have our hearts fearful because of all the technology that the enemy has, okay? Scripture tells us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We have to remember, as in the instance that we just discussed, Yahweh will interfere with the plans and machinations of the enemy. He is going to mess them up. Now, there's going to be a great deal of war. There's going to be a great deal of killing coming up. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not trying to try to whitewash it. I'm not going to try to cover over it. I'm not going to try to say, oh, we just need to wait. Oh, yeah, we do need to wait. We're not going to prevail until Yeshua comes. But we must maybe fight a holding action. He's put the ball in our court again. We're going to have to stand up and be Israelites. And the weak sisters among us that won't stand are going to perish. They're not going to go on their faith. They're not going to trust. They're going to, oh, but they got this and they got that, and I just want to go hide. Pray unto Yahweh for the strength. And if we are operating in a righteous manner, which we will be, He will hear us, and He will listen to our prayer, and He will help us. Because it's the last days, and these miracles are going to start reappearing, because this battle is going to be raged. Us against the Wicked One, and His children. His physical seed line of evil beings. Oh, I know there's so many out there in the Judeo-Christian ranks that don't want to admit it. Oh, they don't want to admit it. They're going to deny and deny and deny. And they're going to go down. They're going to be used. They're going to be slaughtered. They're going to be cannon fodder. They're going to be taxed to death. They're going to be poisoned, 5G'd, you know, talking on their cell phones. I mean, they're inventing all these ways to kill us. And not only are they inventing the ways, they're implementing them. You cannot survive if you've got the ostrich syndrome. If you stick your head in the sands and are in complete denial, you doom yourself and your family. Sorry, but it's not just you, brothers and sisters. It's your family, your wife, your kids. All this that's going on. And if you don't want to listen, and you're not going to trust, don't call yourself Christian. Because He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You're going to have to stand. Oh, you can believe, but it's not the belief that gets you into the kingdom. It's what you do with that belief that gets you into the kingdom. The devils believe and they tremble, but they're not going to be in the kingdom. They're servants. Some of the men on this planet and women serve the wicked one. And they're trying to fight against all of this, fight against Yahweh. They're not going to succeed. And they sure aren't going to get into the kingdom. They're self-destructing. And we need to avoid that. We don't need to self-destruct. We're watching all this escalating violence in the world, not just here in the United States. We've got a lot of violence here, but it's like wildfire. It's everywhere. It's in Germany. It's in Sweden, France, England. All the Israelite nations, South Africa, because the Boer people are Israelites. They are Israel. Wherever our people are congregated, there is violence against us. We are not the initiators of violence. But the time is coming when violence breaks out. We're going to have to deal with it because the police agencies and governmental agencies are studiously ignoring all. That they're just not paying attention. They just don't care. So what do you do about that? Well, you have to take things into your own hands. You have to self-protect. Men, you're going to have to strap up. You're going to have to protect your families. Even the women, the Israelite women, you can pull a trigger. You can be with your little kids, and if anybody comes at your little kids, you need to deal with the situation because the police are not going to come in time to help you. You have to protect your children. That's a mother's duty right there. And the father has to protect the whole family. Man up. It's not a pleasant prospect. I'm not telling you this to scare you. I'm telling you this to keep you alive because I care about my people, Israel. We are in perilous times, brothers and sisters. We need to prepare ourselves spiritually, and we're also to prepare ourselves physically. What can I say to you? Well, it's come down to the end of the hour. I'm getting close to the time. So I will say, may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will talk to you again on Wednesday. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the